If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians as we continue on through the book of 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 6. I believe 17 and 18 is what I put in there, but I'm going to back up to verse 16, the last portion of that, the larger portion of that, actually, and start with that. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for each opportunity we have to be in your house, and this is no different, and we thank you for this evening and each one here tonight, Father. I pray, Father, as we continue on this journey through 2 Corinthians, I pray, Father, that you would just reveal the truths to us through your word. I pray, Father, that you'd put the very words that I need to preach tonight in my mouth, that they would come out, they would touch our hearts, they would change our lives for the better. Father, I pray that you would be lifted up and glorified. I pray that you'd speak to each one of us personally, and I pray that you'd be glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at the blessing of separation, a supernatural presence of an undisturbed relationship with God. Isn't that what we should be desiring? An undisturbed relationship with God? I mean, if we had that, if we had the supernatural presence of God and an undisturbed relationship with God, can you imagine how our lives would be? Now, I'm not saying easy street. I get tired of preachers who tell you, get saved and your life becomes easy. Did anybody have that happen? Show of hands. It didn't happen in my life. You know, it's not that way. And I say, why lie to people? You know, the idea is, well, we'll get them saved, right? Well, all you've done is prove you're a liar. That's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like, and if we have that supernatural presence and that undisturbed relationship with God, why would we lie to anyone? It's not what Jesus would do. The Christian is himself the sanctuary of the Lord and is proved by the passage quoted from Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 12. So if you'll turn over there real quick, Leviticus 26 and verse 12. Leviticus 26:12, and it says, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Basically what he's saying there, right? Same thing. He wants us to walk with them. He wants to be our God. That's what he wants from us. In Exodus 25:22, he says in Exodus 25:22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. God wants to have a relationship with us. And that, we heard that this morning. He wants us to want to have that relationship with him. I keep thinking of how desperately I desired a relationship with my earthly father. I wanted that. I would go out of my way to try and please him so I could have that relationship with him. And yet, why is it when we look at our Heavenly Father, we don't have that desire? Why is it that when we, as his children, look at our lives and say, woe is me, you know, like I've said for years, we go around like somebody stole our birthday with a frown on our face, and yet we want people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to have God the Father as their Heavenly Father, and yet we act like it's the worst thing that could happen to us. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to commune with him. He provides for our needs. We heard that tonight. Anybody in this room go without a need being met by God? I didn't say wants. I said needs. God has supplied every need we've ever had. Thank God he has. Thank God he does. But he wants us to have that relationship with him. And how are we going to have a relationship with God unless we desire to? Because he does. He wants that relationship with us. So what hinders the relationship with God? Us. Look in the mirror, right? Get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, you're the reason why the relationship with God is not going like it could. Because God wants it. So we need to desire it too. So look at verse 17 again of our text. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing. So he starts out with wherefore. Since you are a peculiar people, right? We're supposed to be set apart, not be like everybody else, right? There should be a difference between God's children and the rest of the world. And it should be noticeable. It should be very noticeable. So since we're a peculiar people, and since God, the holy and blessed God, dwells with us and among us, we need to come out from among them. Be ye separate. I had a guy one time tell me, he says, I have to go to the tavern and sit there and have a beer with the guys so that I can win them to Christ. Really? How are you going to tell them that what they're doing is wrong when you're sitting there right next to them doing the same thing? You can't. Not have them believe anything that comes out of your mouth. We need to be separate. We need to not be with them. And he's talking about from among idolaters and unbelievers and from this perverse and vicious world. We need to be different. We need to take a stand. Fortunately, as I said this morning, that church back east, Brother Holman was talking about, it's going downhill. Why? Because we're no longer willing to take a stand. Why? Has the Bible changed? No. It's not gonna either, by the way. God hasn't changed. He says he won't. I've had many men try to convince me that God has changed. No, he hasn't. And you're not gonna convince me, so give up on that effort because it's not gonna work. God hasn't changed. He says that we need to come out from amongst them. We need to get rid of all the idolatry and separate from unbelievers. We can't totally separate from them because we got to go out and witness to them, right? Isn't that what he told us? We're supposed to go out and warn them? How are you going to do that if you're totally cut yourself off from them? You're not. So we need to still be in the world, but we don't need to be of the world. He's taken these words with a slight change from Isaiah 52:11. If you turn over to Isaiah 52:11, please. Isaiah 52:11 says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. They were applied here to the Jews in Babylon and are a solemn call which God makes on them to leave the place of their exile, to come out from among the idolaters of that city and return to their own land. Babylon in the scriptures is the emblem of whatever is proud, arrogant, wicked, and oppressed to God. Paul says here, therefore, applies these words here with great beauty and force to illustrate the duty of Christians in separating themselves from a vain, idolatrous, and wicked world. Why is it that God's people are so bent on going back to the world? Why is it that we want that so much? And I'm talking in general here, obviously. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm talking about what the world calls Christianity today. We have this bent on going back to the world. We like the things of this world more than we like the things of God. We take that step further. We love the things of the world more than we love the things of God. And people ask, well, how do you know that? Well, what do we see in our churches today? Brother Anker pointed out, churches are not huge these days, unless they're going about it the wrong way a lot of times. Now, there are some, I've been to some, that are humongous churches. But I'm telling you that for the most part, they're small. For the most part. Why? Because people don't want to follow the Word of God. And I'm talking about God's people now. I'm not talking about worldly people. I'm not talking about the heathen or the lost. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about God's children. We can see it because you see how many people belong to a church and how many people show up. And you can come, you know, maybe once a month and say, well, I gave God my hour this month. Or if you were here this morning, a little longer than that. But I'm just saying, you know, people think that that's all they need to do. Well, we need to separate from that kind of thinking. It says, be separate from the world and all its corrupting influences. It's easy to go out into the world and be corrupted, isn't it? I've shared with some of you here about my real estate career. I had a class a couple months ago, and in that class they said that I was racist because I won the lottery and was born white. I said, I don't remember God asking me what color I wanted to be. I don't remember God asking me where I wanted to be born. I'm the color I am because this is what God made me. But see, they're trying to indoctrinate people into believing something that's not true. I told them, I'm the color that God made me, and I don't have to be racist, and I didn't win any lottery. Sorry, it didn't work that way. God made all of mankind after his image, and as far as I'm concerned, we're all equal. That's what the Bible teaches. But this is their idea. And they want us to buy into this and then spread this lie to others. I won't do it. It's not worth it. Not worth it at all. Then he ends with, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. He says, I've said over and over and over, if somebody stands in a pulpit or opens the Word of God and says, thus saith the Lord, it better be God's Word. These people that tell you stuff that isn't anywhere in the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord, after that, they need to be thrown out. Don't listen to them. But God's saying we need to be separate. We need to be separate. and touch not the unclean thing. In Isaiah, it says, touch no unclean thing. That is, they were to be pure and to have no connection with idolatry in any of its forms. Now, I've said over and over and over, what's idolatry? Anything that comes between you and God is an idol in your life. And I picked on several of us. It could be fishing, right? I know some like to fish. It could be fishing. If fishing comes between you and God, it's an idol. For some, it's sports, right? I remember knocking doors one year. This guy answered the door and he says, you know, it's, you know, football season. I can't be in church during football season because I'd miss the game. And of course, sometimes God doesn't get his hand across my mouth quite soon enough, but I said, that's why God created the DVR. He didn't think I was as funny as I thought I was. But I'm telling you, to him, football is his idol. It comes between him and God. Now, I venture to say he's not saved, but I don't know that for sure. I can't see his heart. But he told me there's no way he could be in church on Sundays when football's on Sunday. So put in whatever it is. I don't care if it's your family, your recreation. I don't care if it's whatever you want to put in there. If it comes between you and God, it's an idol. And for a lot of people, it's money. The almighty dollar. Which, by the way, is just a tool. And we need it in this world, but it shouldn't be an idol. Should never be an idol to us. Christians, we're told, were to avoid all unholy contact with a vain and polluted world. The sense is to have no close connection with an idolater or an unholy person. I'm talking close connections here. Be pure and feel that you belong to a community that is under its own laws and that it is to be distinguished in moral purity from all the rest of the world. There should be a difference. There should be a huge difference. When we go out into the world, they should see that there's something different about our life. Because I'm going to tell you, they're watching. They're watching to see if your life measured, and I still don't get it, but lost people seem to know more about how to live a godly life than saved people do. It's like, why is this? But they're watching. There's like a microscope on us saying, you messed up. Well, thank God I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. And then he says, and I will receive you. I will receive and recognize you as my friends and my adopted children. This could not be done until they were separated from an idolatrous and wicked world. God, obviously, you get saved, right? Anybody we know that's saved and out living like the devil? I know several. Breaks my heart. Now, do I know for sure they're saved? No, I can't tell their heart. I'm going based on what they're telling me. But are they living in the wicked world? Living of the world? Instead of just being in it? The fact of their being received by God and recognized as his children depended on their coming out from the world. These words, with the verse following, though used evidently somewhat in the form of a quotation, yet are not found in any other single place in the Old Testament. God says of Solomon, look in Samuel, 2 Samuel 7:14. Second Samuel 7:14 says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. I tell people all the time, I said, if you're a child of God, and you're involved in sin, if God hasn't chastened you, there's a problem. He chastens those that are His. And then in Jeremiah, he says, in Jeremiah 31:9, Jeremiah 31:9, it says, "They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." It's good to be known as a child of God. Look at verse 18 of our text now. "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." A father is a protector, a counselor, and a guide of his children. He instructs them, provides for them, and counsels them in time of perplexity and all. No relation is more tender than this. In accordance with this, God says that He will be to His people their protector, counselor, guide, and friend. God will do all of that for us. He wants to do all of that for us. He will cherish towards them the feelings of a father. He will provide for them. Again, as we heard already, He provides for our needs. He wants to provide for us. He will acknowledge them as His children. No higher honor can be conferred on mortals than to be adopted into the family of God and to be permitted to call the Most High our Father. Think about that. He wants us to call Him Father. He wants to be our Father. And yet, how do we treat Him? I have to tell you, the way I watch people treat God, I would never have dreamt of treating my father that way. I probably would have met God had I treated my dad the way some people treat our Heavenly Father. It's like we don't want anything to do with Him until we want something. And that's not right. He wants a daily relationship with us. That's why I've said so many times, we need to daily have a time with prayer, Bible reading, Bible studying. Some people think that just reading the Bible is studying. No, you've got to dig into it. It doesn't just all flow out when you're reading through it. You need to do some studying. No rank is so elevated as that of being the sons and the daughters of the Lord Almighty. Yet this is the common designation by which God addresses His people. And the most humble in rank, the most poor and ignorant of His friends on earth, and most despised among men, may reflect that they are children of the ever-living God and have the Maker of the heavens and the earth as their Father and their eternal friend. How poor are all the honors of the world compared to this? I mean, when you've got God the Father, your Heavenly Father, what more do you need? All the honors of this world are nothing. The Lord Almighty. It means one who has all power and is applied to God in contrasting from idols that are weak and powerless. I've mentioned this many times. Idols. What do people do with their idols? They have statues in the houses, right? I know. I go through a lot of houses, and I got to tell you, they've got their little idols and stuff. And what do they have to do? They got to dust those things, right? They got to move them around. They got to dust them. They got to take care of them. They can't do anything. Almighty God doesn't need us to take care of Him. We need Him to take care of us. And thank God He does. We need to be careful. whom our faith and trust is. God is able to protect his people, and they who put their trust in him shall never be confounded. What has he to fear who has the friend of almighty power? What do we have to fear? Like I've said before, what's the worst thing man can do to me? They can kill this body. I still win. I still go home. That's the worst thing they can do. If you're going home, what's the big deal? The great duty of believers in all ages is to maintain their character as a separate people, no more conformed to the world. God doesn't want us conformed to this world. In fact, his word tells us, be not conformed to this world, right? This world is not our home. We're just passing through here. This is temporary. Life is short. Brother Anker brought that out this morning again. Life is short. We think that it's been a long time, right? I look back and I think, can't believe that I'm already at this age. Seems like it didn't take any time to get here at all. I look back and I think, I've got a grandson that's going to be 17 in first part of July. How did that happen? How could he be 17? I remember him being born. Life is short. Let's not be conformed to this world. May this family never fall into worldly fashions, amusements, or pursuits, but be distinguished as following the Lord fully. So shall we be peculiarly dear to our Heavenly Father. Folks, let's not let all the attractions of the world lure us. I had a pastor one time tell me, man, you need to go to Las Vegas because the lights, it's an amazing place to be. And I said, I have absolutely zero desire to go to Las Vegas. I said, that's where God would probably put me some point, because you never tell him never, right? But I have zero desire to go there. None. And I know a lot of people that, man, I got to go to Vegas. I'm going on vacation and all. And more power to you. I have zero desire to go there. I don't care about the lights and all that. It's not what impresses me. I'd much rather, like Miss Anker said, coming up here and seeing all the beauty of the Northwest, right? I'd much rather go out and see what God's created than see what man's put up in lights. Let's not chase after the worldly desires and all. Let's keep our eyes focused on God. And when we do that, our walk with him, right? And it's not about doing, doing, doing. I get so tired of people saying, you got to do this and you got to do this. And no, it's about being. It's about being a Christian. It looks good when you're doing all the stuff, right? Man, I got this and this. Look at all these things I did, right? What did Jesus say to the ones that said, we did this and this and this and this and this in your name? And he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It's not about doing, it's about being. Let's just be children of God. What's the best way to do that? We heard that this morning. Obedience. Through obedience, I know my children, when they were obedient to me, they had a better relationship with me. When they were being disobedient, I still loved them. I wanted to beat the tar out of them, but I still loved them, right? I didn't, by the way. They got corrected, but they didn't get beat to death. But I'm just saying, Isn't it better when we're just obedient to the Word of God and follow Him? That's what He wants. He wants us to be obedient. Isn't it better to have that close, intimate relationship with our Father than to be off doing our own thing out in the world, not being separated? Folks, we have the choice. And it's not because God, remember the older couple, probably my age now, but older couple were driving down the road. She looked over at her husband and said, "We used to sit next to one another. Now we sit so far apart. What happened?" He's driving. He says, "I haven't moved." Let me tell you, God hasn't moved. So if your relationship isn't where it should be, it's because you moved, not because God moved. All right, let's pray.